Hello and welcome to the October 2017 edition of the Bizarre Briefing. I'm Bryce Castillo, joined as always with Brant Hughes.
Hey, that's me.
David Rowan.
What up?
And Jeff Fuchsler. This is our monthly behind-the-scenes podcast where we talk about all the things going on here at Bizarre Magic, from Scam School to Modern Rogue to Scam Stuff, Scam School Remix, all the podcasts like Night Attack and Chord Killers. So welcome, everybody. It was October.
Woo-hoo. Was it?
Yeah. We're coming to you live October 31st. Right.
All right. Yes, I'm sorry. We're not on our normal on the day that we said we would. I said that a month ago. I can't be expected to remember stuff I said a month ago. Sorry. We are here. Did everyone have a good Halloween?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
I got really drunk and didn't wear a costume.
Okay. So, there you go.
Yep.
So, Halloween update.
A typical Tuesday, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Very cool. Well, let's just get down to business. I think the big thing that happened for us this past month really was our ghost hunting episode of Modern Rogue.
Ooh. Yeah,
we went to the Wizard Tower here in Austin, Texas, and the guys simulated a ghost hunting show. Is that a good way to?
Yeah, I feel like that's a fair assessment. Yeah, we were kind of going back and forth on whether we were going to do a Halloween thing or not, because I think they just didn't necessarily have like a great idea to latch onto. But for me, it was super important to do something, because we did the Ouija board episode last year.
Oh, and, right.
Yeah, and I really love that stuff. So I came up with an idea right around the time that we did the Rogues Weekend event with Brad.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, like, it might be a cool idea if you like start off an episode as like a ghost hunting show and you totally play into it and just are like serious and it looks like a ghost hunting show and feels like a ghost hunting show.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when you do like the evidence reveal, you're like, yeah, we faked it all and here's how.
Yeah.
So we kind of played around with that for a bit. And it all kind of came together really last minute, but we knew that the Wizard Academy was a really cool location, something that you could look at and feasibly go like, oh yeah, that
something spooky happened there.
That could viably definitely be haunted.
Right.
So we talked to them and it all came together kind of in one night, and we went there and just shot a bunch of footage and cut it together, and it was a big old thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about the shooting the actual night of. So we probably shot this a couple, like 2 weeks before it came out. I want to say it was about 2 weeks before.
Yeah, I think it was probably 3 weeks before, but then we did the second half of the episode 2 or 3 days before.
Okay. And that was like, that was a very like on our toes sort of shoot, because mm-hmm. I think it was this thing where we had a really strong idea for the concept and then maybe not much at all in terms of like details of execution, mm-hmm. right? Like, I knew that they wanted to, you know, go around and find something that made the EMF reader go off and find some weird spot with the IR camera. But in terms of like when we were doing it, it just happened. They turned off all the lights and they just went. And there was like this weird unspoken thing of like, you and I are just gonna fuck with them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
At some point during the shoot, it was just like, hey, we're gonna mess with them, and as a part of it, be the behind the scenes team that was actually making weird stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you? Like, was that something you were aware of doing immediately when we started, or was that something that kind of came along once we were in the thick of it?
I knew pretty early on that was going to be a part of our role. I knew by the time we got to the second floor, I was like, okay, yeah, like I know that this is important to give them material to bounce off of, right? And me personally, I come from a background of watching a lot of these ghost shows.
Yeah,
I spent like a lot of my high school and college years just having those shows on, and you know that was around the time of like found footage being the hot new craze with Paranormal Activity coming out. And,
oh, yeah.
And, like, just everybody was in a fever for found footage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was, like, it was very much of the time. And so I was pretty familiar with a lot of the tropes and stuff, and I kind of knew, you know, sort of the flow of everything. Hmm.
So we shot the deconstruction afterwards, mm-hmm. and I knew when we were shooting that, of course, Brant called the elevator. Mm-hmm. I it made sense. Like, I hadn't seen him in a minute, and the elevators don't do that. No elevator just right. opens randomly.
I did live in a building.
Really?
The elevator would just randomly decide to take you to the basement. But I'm
sure that place is haunted.
Yeah, that, right. That's haunted.
Legit. Yeah. That's clearly legit. Yeah.
Apparently we were shooting the deconstruction and we were just in the middle of it. And Brian goes, yeah, I don't know what was up with those elevators. I guess, you know, I was talking to them afterwards and say, sometimes they'll actually go off they'll regularly move around. And we had to stop it. We were like, no, Brant very clearly did that.
Like, I'm pretty sure I told him that after we finished the ghost hunting bit.
Yeah.
We were standing around talking and I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, I actually, so there was a bottle of liquor with a snake in it.
I wanted to put that in the elevator.
Up on the top floor, and I was like, oh, I really wanted to sneak that into the elevator and then bring it up, but I just didn't have the time for it because I thought that would be a really cool little spooky thing.
Yeah.
Brian was like, oh, yeah, I guess just every 15 minutes opens up.
No, he talked to someone,
yeah,
and
yeah.
someone convinced him that it just routinely does that, which I don't even know. I've been in that wizard tower for a long time that I don't think it does that either.
I feel like I've heard it running on its own maybe.
But it's open.
But, yeah, I've never seen it open.
Yeah.
And yeah, so just like weird little things like that. And also, like, it was weird because at the time of us doing the deconstruction, I hadn't started
any of the edit.
I had done some basic loose editing, but I hadn't done like a lot of the specific stuff. So like all of the EVP stuff, we couldn't talk about it because we didn't know what was going to be there. We didn't know if I was going to manufacture something or what. And we couldn't talk about anything outside of like, oh yeah, these are like the hard examples that we know are gonna show up, mm-hmm. like the elevator or the thermal goofiness or whatever.
Yeah, well, the EVP thing was especially weird because we were using your Zoom audio recorder, but that's not really like an EVP device. That's just an audio recorder, unless my understanding of EVP is different. Like
I think it's mostly just audio recorders.
Oh, okay. But I wasn't sure if you needed like a special one, because like the whole point of it is like having glitching audio,
right?
Essentially,
and it's also really goofy because it's like all these shows use lavs like we do, and it's like, well, it would show up on the lav. You don't really need to, you don't really need to do that unless the ghost is far away and you need a lot of room noise.
Yeah, or the ghost doesn't use RF.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What were some of the other things? I'm really surprised. So I watched it. I was really surprised you left in the bit. So there's the bit where Brian and Jason have gone up to the library, which overlooks the classroom area. And when they go up, I stuck around below on the lower level, and they pointed the IR camera and they could see my body signature. And you know, it was this big, is everyone up here? And so Jason like goes down to investigate, and I'm like, okay, well, it's fucking blind. It's dark now. I cannot find my way to the stairs. And so I like made contact with Jason at the stairs, and he just goes, oh, it was just Bryce. And I'm like, okay, so Brant's definitely not going to put that part of the bit in. And then that specifically made it in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you need moments like that. And those are always shown in ghost hunting shows.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Because you need something kind of spooky to happen, and then an easy way to debunk it. So that way, it makes your other stuff that you don't debunk right. look more legitimate.
Yeah. Ah.
Because you're like, oh, well, if there was an obvious simple explanation, they would have just right. shown us the obvious simple explanation, like they did yeah. with the other thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was still just like. Okay, he shut it down. He shut it down real fast.
Yeah.
What were some of the other things? The gong made it in. Hitting the gong
mm-hmm.
made it in. I don't think the bell, tapping the bell, did. I think that was probably a little too on the nose.
Well, the bell is played pretty early on when they're on the second or third floor, and Brian's like, "Did you hear something?" And that's one of the couple instances where we show the waveform of things, and we're like, "Oh, it's a spooky bell that that showed up here." Or something.
Oh, okay, I must have missed that.
But yeah, there are a lot of trappings of those shows that were kind of fun to put in. It was a whole thing, and also like, the comment section of that episode is like a really good microcosm of the internet.
Yeah.
For just like, you can see all the people who like to leave comments on articles without reading the article. They just read the headline.
Right. Like we got here. I'm 3 minutes in and I don't know what to make of this episode.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who are like, there was also a really great moment. Because I mean, people can obviously look through the comments and make of that what they will. Yeah. There's a really great moment where Brian sent me an email. He sent me and Jason an email, and he was just like, it was some dude who basically left one of these comments, but in an email. He was like, he had this whole thing of like four paragraphs of like, well, this is debunked this way, and this is debunked in this way. And
the final paragraph of that email.
Yeah, at the very end, he was like, oh, I just got to the end of the episode. Now I get it. I'm just gonna send this anyway.
I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, and just so you could see the process or something. Yeah. And so Brian responded without reading the end of it. So he was like, "Oh, well, maybe you should watch the whole episode." And then I just had to send Brian a thing like, "Did you read his whole thing?
Maybe you should watch the end of that email."
Yeah.
Well, and so the title. So we've got the title on it now is "Ghost Hunting TV Shows or BS." Parentheses. So here's how we made one, which was a command decision from Brian Brushwood at some point over last week.
That was a fun surprise to see.
But it was previously.
It was MR.
It's down below.
Well, no. This was like a different file name in the description here.
Yeah.
The Paranormal Rogues MKV. Was it just MR Pilot Ghost Hunting?
Yeah, like MR Ghost Pilot 01.mov.
Yeah,
because he had to change the fake file name for it, I guess.
Yeah, though MOV would be right in terms of TV stuff.
MK, if you are getting an illegitimate copy of this Ghost Pilot, it would be an MKV.
But if it was us uploading a secret pilot that we made for television, it would be an MOV.
It'd be MP4.
No, it wouldn't. For TV.
Well, I'm. If we're uploading something to the internet, it's going to be MP4.
Okay,
because that's what all of the modern rogues are.
Sure. I mean specifically for like the idea that it's a TV show thing.
When did y'all stop doing real media? When did you stop doing the?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
How was the edit on this? Because especially the first half, that is like the faux TV show bit, is very. Like between all of the different sources, between the IR camera that had no audio, and the camera that Jason was using that like shut down in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was a weird one because it was also the week that I was cutting that together. I had jury duty, so I had to get stuff done early, and also I was just coming back from a wedding, so time was kind of sparse, but yeah, the IR footage was easy enough to sync together. It had audio built into it, so I could sync it up pretty easily. But the FLIR camera does not have any audio, so there was a lot of, and also everything just looks like random blobs, so it's actually super tough to sync up. Mm-hmm. And so I had that was a whole process in its own, but. Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. It was a bit of a. It was definitely a bit of an iterative process. There was a lot of feeling out the moments, and just, you know, I see every edit kind of like as sculpting, right? You start with a block of marble, and then you chip away at it until it starts to look like something, and then you just refine. Mm. So it was a lot like that. The deconstruction was actually a little bit harder than the actual. First half, because it was a lot of Brian and Jason just getting angry and yelling about things, and there weren't as many like hard examples to go by. It was a lot of them talking in generalities, which is harder to structure because it's just kind of like, oh, we'll just talk and then you'll make something out of it.
Yeah.
But I think eventually we landed on a pretty good structure of like, here's, it was like a 3-part deconstruction. And yeah, it just, it was a lot of finessing.
Okay, cool. Well, that's out now on YouTube, youtube.com/modernrogue. What's this week's episode? Do you want? Can you tease it?
Is steganography, so hiding files within other files.
Within dinosaurs, yes.
And followers of my Twitter will remember 13 weeks ago when I posted a video of Jason going, "I had sex with a dinosaur." just devoid of context. Sure. Well, now you'll be able to see what that's from.
There you go. Cool. We'll check that out Fridays, youtube.com/modernrogue.
Yeah.
I want to give a little update on the Patreon shirts because those are a little behind, but it sounds like those will be going out in the next few days. If I am, I'm trying to remember.
I think
we just talked about this like 20 minutes
they're
ago.
Leaving
the printers,
coming off the press now. So it usually will take at least a week to enter inventory at a fulfillment center where we can send them out. So I would say a week from today.
Okay, cool. So
just hang in there. Also, I think you guys shipped out the normal shirts because we did kind of a split thing of like, oh, you can have this new patron shirt or you can have
one of the Modern Rogue shirts.
Yeah, one of the classic designs.
Yeah.
And I think the classic designs got shipped out.
Okay.
Already.
Yeah. And I know that there were people... There was some discussion we had the other day of like, well, we've got people who want to get in on the shirts, but the idea is that these would be quarterly. So if you missed it in the past one, just if you are a patron at that shirt level at some point in the month, you will get you'll be in it for the next quarter.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, who's to say if we don't have some excess, maybe we make that an option for later shirt tiers or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's your update for that. Patreon.com/modernrogue.
There is a 3-shirt pack, but for the classic designs,
the red, gray,
the
and
Patreon,
black.
The new one. There's no 3-pack for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So you mentioned jury school. I said jury school because I saw the word
to jury school.
It's
a 5-year college.
It's weird.
5-year. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you even get it? You get a master's at the end of that?
They vote on it.
You just get like a little certificate, little thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we did 2 scam school shoots this past, since the last episode. And you weren't at you had to dodge. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah,
you weren't there for either of those.
I was absentee.
And
first one was the day that I was leaving for my cousin's wedding.
That's right. And that was the day after we shot the Modern Rogue Wizard Tower stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So it was kind of this thing of like, well, we had this all night thing. So plus you were probably finishing up that week's Modern Rogue. Or maybe you had already done that.
Yeah, it was around then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one was last week.
Yeah, and I was coming off of jury duty, and then I still had to finish the ghost hunting episode, which went up a day late.
Oh, that's right, it did. Those are my first shoots that you were not at.
Yeah, how was it?
The first one at Handlebar was like doubly high pressure because between like not knowing that you were there and also Jason and Brian had been signed up for some public event thing at a science museum around here in town.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't realize what time that was, and they thought it was in the afternoon, so we figured, hey, we'll just do scam school in the evening and then it'll be a thing. But it actually was in the evening, and so we had to do these episodes really quickly, and that ended up going pretty well. The 2 episodes, both of those are out now. That's the tarot card one that went up last night, and what was the other one? It's another card trick.
It's the
Oh, it's the matched pairs.
Yeah, the matching of the cards and stuff. Or the colors. Yeah.
One, I think it's called Once is a Coincidence, Twice is Magic on YouTube. And both of those went really well. They, like, the tarot card ones, we shot that in like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the match pair ones was also super quick, like 20 or 30 minutes. And we also got stand-ups for those because that match paired ones was going up that next week. And so that was kind of high pressure, but it ended up working out really well. And there weren't like really any mistakes at all. Jeff, you did a really good job.
Thank you.
In terms of like,
I didn't know.
Having one less person to lean on. So the episode that just went up, the tarot cards one on YouTube, doesn't have the normal intro with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there was that wasn't even really going to be the episode this week, but between the past couple of days being really swamped for me and we didn't have any other stand-ups, I went with that. But when we shot the stand-ups for that, I guess it was the pressure of the moment or whatever, but I wasn't recording when we shot the opening part of that stand-up. And I know that's what happened because when I listened to the video file for the outro one, you can hear me say, okay, this is the tarot card one. And so it's not the worst thing. I don't know. Brian had been talking about what it would look like if we maybe scrapped the intro stand-ups anyway.
Just cold open.
At some point.
Yeah.
And so even though that trick doesn't have like a really big pop to like be any sort of teaser, it was pretty nice to just like get in and get out really quick.
Can I ask you a question about the color match one?
Sure.
Cause I was filming that one and we had a lady, I didn't realize that one had gone up yet, but we had a lady in the audience, who was like, when we set up to film this, there was this older lady and her daughter that were like standing behind me.
Oh yeah.
And I felt really bad about crowding them. Right. And then at one point Brian asked if the lady wanted to be, on the show, this lady on the left here. Yeah.
Cause she was like looking at us getting set up and we were pretty close to her space cause mm-hmm. it was really tight at Handlebar that day.
Yeah. Mm. But what I noticed, and I'm never sure whether I should like go, hey, wait, stop everybody. Hold on for a second. Is that her daughter was standing behind me and this lady
feeding her drinks
the entire time kept turning
to get a drink,
to talk to mouth stuff at her daughter. And what ended up happening was looking directly into my camera. And I would just wanted to be like, zzz, like turn around. And I wasn't sure when you were editing.
Yeah.
If you just had to constantly be switching around this lady turning, because like you can see her do it right there when she was turning and then you cut to the
a minute ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's the sort of thing where, you know, she was on the edge. Also, like the setup. So we did this like weird like horseshoe setup for both episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because we needed a lot of people. And literally this was the only table we could get at Handlebar. Like it was crazy for a Thursday afternoon that it normally isn't. But between like her kind of being off on the edges and her not being very talkative,
mm-hmm.
It was not really a big deal.
Okay.
And this was also one where, because it was like a horseshoe shape like this, the master shot is not super helpful.
Yeah.
As it was. So, stuff like that was fine. Okay. There is one moment in the tarot cards episode, and I think I was able to cut around it, but the woman and her daughter are leaving while we're shooting the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say bye to Brian. And like in the middle of John Maverick talking, he like looks and goes, oh, and like wave, like there's a big wave at them. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. But that ended up fine. And then we did three episodes at Moon Tower last week, which mm-hmm. was pretty good. We lost at some point in, I think, the second episode that we did, the master shot turned off. And so we lost like a lot of that. So I need to go and just look and see like what's up with that. Like how, if it's usable or not, cause we can do the trick again at another shoot, but
can we?
Yeah, we can.
It's the second one, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
Was the lie detector one.
Yep.
No, we can do that again.
Can we?
We can. Let's get a deck of cards.
We do right now. Welcome to Scam School.
And so that might be salvageable. Also, a Night Attack callback. Apparently, Polymath Molly lives in Austin and came out to that shoot. And so she was on all three of those episodes.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool. She was a lot of fun, and apparently she just saw Brian's tweet and was like, hey, yeah. And like, oh.
All right.
Okay, yeah, it's been a minute, huh?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, keeping an eye out for those.
And so not only did you have that, but and barring the stand-up that went kind of awry this week, you've also been doing stand-ups on your own for the most part the past however
past
long.
Like a couple of months.
At open mic nights?
A month or so. What?
Open mic nights?
No, the intro stand-ups for Scandal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. We'll just get a brick wall in here, just wheel it in. Uh-huh. part of it is just like, I don't know, you haven't been doing Scam School in a while,
mm-hmm.
and so, though I was going to ask if maybe you can do stand up with Brian this weekend, maybe, but that's a different question. But yeah, doing stand-ups has been fine. It's we haven't like gone into town and done like a big stand-up shoot in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We've done like a lot of like around here stuff near Brian's house. There was one that we did about a month ago now, like right up the street at that empty street where there are no houses and stuff. And just did a walk and talk there because it was good weather outside. But we do need to do more stand up, so we'll figure that out. So that's that. Let's switch over to Scam stuff. Over the past month, we had a new release, the Plasma Lighter X.
Plasma Lighter X.
Plasma Lighter X.
Not Plasma Lighter 10.
No,
Plasma Lighter
10.
X. Yeah, look at that thing.
Yeah, so it's a lot like the previous Plasma Lighter, but now it has two plasma arcs. And this is a new thing for us in that they have a custom design.
Yeah, double the plasma, double the branding.
And so like the black one has a little BB on the corner, and then the silver one has it in the center.
Yeah.
How's that doing?
Really well, actually. Yeah. I think we're doing as good as we thought we'd do. So that's very good. And you're getting this because it's the cool factor, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to just have the most efficient way to light something on fire, you'd use a blowtorch like, you know, every other person does, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to look cooler than the guy carrying around a blowtorch and slightly less threatening, you know, carry around a plasma lighter.
Yeah.
Show that thing. And it just, you know, it gets attention because most people are just used to the, you know, silly flames. Just,
yeah.
You know, and this is two arcs of... plasma,
and yeah, it's a neat little device, and like the fact, like I think the weirdest thing about it, I don't even know if that's weird, but like is that it is a lighter that is USB rechargeable.
Yeah, micro USB. I mean, we just asked if there was a lightning connector. I think there should be. I mean, it's plasma.
Probably.
It should be a lightning connector.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe Thunderbolt. Which one's the
Thunderbolt's? I think like the video, right? Lightning is the iPhone standard.
Lightning is what you see, and thunder is what makes contact.
Like in general physics,
actual lightning and thunder.
Lightning is what you see. That's correct.
And thunder is when it makes contact.
The sound pressure wave.
Okay, never mind.
Thunder is sound. You hear thunder.
Are you touching thunder?
No.
Contact is a good movie, though. Yeah. I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
But
do you wear contacts?
I do wear contacts. Okay. So there we go. But I just like the idea of a lighter that instead of having fuel is charged by a battery.
Yeah, it's the Tesla of pocket lighters.
How long does it last on one charge? Is it, you get a pretty good time out of it?
I think it just depends on how often you're using it.
Yeah, because
I don't know what a continuous like press would.
Oh, you should run some tests.
I feel like just do a continuous press.
I was using it a lot for this shoot, and like with this, I don't know if the old model did it, but with this one, it will, you know, you hold down the button to activate it, but it has like a timer, so it won't, you can't use it continuously. It'll turn itself off because otherwise it'll like overheat or something.
Yeah, it also, if you have the cap closed,
it won't turn on.
And it's in your pocket, right? Mm. The button gets pressed, it won't turn on, which is good because the previous version would turn on and you'd suddenly have a really hot pocket.
Yeah.
Hot pocket.
what? Yeah. So yeah, but those things will last. I think I get a sense that those things will last a while. I was using it for like 2 hours straight, and I don't even know if those were fully charged.
That's a lot of cigarettes there, Bryce.
I was so part of what took a lot of time to use it was this like opening shot that we did. Mm. So like it kind of this whole opening bit is like a is a big visual, and not even a visual trick. It's just like I wanted to do a shot of like a playing card being set on fire, because I think we've got tricks about playing cards being set on fire, and it wasn't the easiest thing for me to do with the camera at the same time as holding it, and so that ended up not working out immediately great. But what I did do to kind of test it out was like we have those brown paper rolls in the warehouse, so I was like, tore some of those up and tore them into strips and lit them on fire outside to just get footage of a fire and to see, you know, what using it is actually like. And that gives you ash, or not even ash necessarily, but just like flakes and
charred bits. Stuff.
Yeah. And so my original idea for this sort of shot was what you see at the end, which is like, it's like flakes of the stuff falling down on the lighter, and it was the sort of thing where I had been in it for a while and it wasn't exactly lit right, so it doesn't perfectly come across, especially when you watch it. But then the idea of like, okay, so what if it was like, what if there was a lot of ash and we kind of like blew it away. And so what you see in the beginning is like there's a bunch of ash on it, and then there's like this big lighting effect to kind of like indicate an explosion, but that's all digital leveling with lights, and me just blowing on it, and really hoping to God it worked, because it was the sort of thing where it took a lot of paper to get even that little amount.
Like, I don't want to do this again if I don't have to.
Right. And it got everywhere, and it was the sort of thing where I was like, okay, well, I am actually lighting paper on fire, and that is also super precarious. So it ended up working out pretty well for that sort of opening shot.
Yeah, I think it did really well. You know, it's got a views equivalent to an episode.
Yeah, it's almost
for being out 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well. Like that, the when we did the Fire Wallet video, that did really, really well.
Yeah.
Like on YouTube, this is over 100,000 views, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I really like the title card on that one.
Yeah. At the beginning. I think we talked about that last month.
Yeah.
And so I kind of did a similar thing with the plasma lighter title card at the beginning. Because this the fire effect under the word plasma lighter,
yeah, like is, right there, that looks cool. Yeah.
This is actually the fire that I shot that night with the paper, and then the X is actually the lasers, the little plasma beams of the lighter over that. So that was that. How much do you want to tease of our thing?
Well, I would say if you're not on our email list, you definitely want to get on it before tomorrow.
That's at scamstuff.com.
Just go to scamstuff.com.
You'll see it on the left side.
You might even get asked via a little pop-up window. If you demonstrate exit intent. But you can also reach it from the left side. But tomorrow, probably the biggest release of the year being announced via email.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it takes a while to write the email, in which case maybe Saturday or Sunday. But tomorrow is the day.
Certainly by the time this episode comes out on the podcast. Yeah. So I guess we won't talk about it in specifics. But last night we shot... I did not realize
1:30 in the morning
you left that we were there for 4 hours. 1:30
in the morning. Yeah. I think if there are people who have followed along with the Scam Stuff story for the past couple of years,
they
can look at what was released at similar times of the year and have a pretty good idea. So that's probably what we can say.
And part of the reason, doing those product shoot always takes super long because A, there's just like an element of like getting warmed up and like touching all the equipment and figuring out what you kind of like and don't kind of like and getting into the groove of it. Like that, that might have been that first half hour or even that first hour of just like getting all the lights and figuring out what I liked best and all. And once those like initial shots that I did were done, it was really like off to the races.
Yeah, yeah. And then when the cocaine showed up,
yes.
So, then it was like this.
There's a part of it where I think that's only in like one shot, like the opening shot that I have planned out for it. But I brought in a bag of flour to have like a smoke effect in the background with this lighting. And I haven't looked. I hope I didn't leave too much of a mess for you today. But there was a big flour thing.
It's fine. That's what the warehouse is for.
Yeah, it's baking, I guess it's better.
Baking.
It's better there than in this studio.
Yeah.
Part of it is like so much of the decisions of those product videos come in editing and with the choice of footage. So like this is one of like the first times I actually like went and made like a really heavy duty shot list and like thumbnails and stuff, just to not even to like stick close to this or any sort of idea for what the blocking of
just
it
make
looks
sure
like.
You touched all the points that you thought were worth.
Yeah, getting. To make sure I have like I went in and looked at the. I looked at the throwing cards intro that I made, and like, okay, this has 19 unique shots, so I need to decide what 19 shots look like, and at least aim for that. And you know, when I got in, I was like, okay, so this thing doesn't, the mechanism doesn't do this thing, it does this thing, and so that changes stuff. But I feel really good about how much footage I shot. I haven't looked at any of it because I haven't had any time since then because it was really late. I thank you for hanging out.
Because we basically just went to sleep and now we're here.
That'll be cool. And so that'll probably come out Friday. There's a chance maybe it ends up being Saturday or something. But
given the schedule surprise that we got just before going on the air, I'm hoping that it's still Friday. But it's the best version of the thing that we've ever done. It's probably the most complete, the most compelling.
It looks
amazing. Smells great.
Yeah, those things always smell great.
Yeah,
and just the entire journey, like the way it is set up, is probably, I think, easily like the biggest thing of that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is like super cool.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of cool stuff. So that's the non-specific product tease.
Right.
Order.
Yay. It also opens a new chapter for a variation of something else that already does exist. So there's the second part of it as well. You know, not just the thing, but the thing inside the thing.
Leon is just going to take this clip out, wait for 3 months, and then when everything's revealed, he's going to piece everything together.
Yeah. He's going to, serial it. So like, they were actually talking about the buh. I don't even know what the second thing is, but that'll be...
Right?
I barely know what the first thing is.
Yeah. Okay, well... Then
I don't know what anything is anymore.
Yeah, that's a good time to change subjects. So this month, in November and the first week of December, Night Attack is getting front page promotion on Twitch.
Mm.
That is super cool and kind of daunting. For the past couple of months... I've really had a very active hand in Night Attack in like writing bits for the show and moderating games and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like its own weird sort of pressure because like the guys are like, hey, anything you can bring is cool. It is if it's bad, that's fine, which is easy for them to say because they don't have to. It's not them making something bad. But it's something that I've really at least tried to give a little bit of TLC to. And so I think the show's been really cool lately, he says, saying that he's been on it. But we're trying to, like, do some really big stuff with Night Attack this month because we're going to get a lot of people watching and a lot of shitty people watching. Like, I will say it just like...
Just as individuals?
Yes.
Oh, you mean just like just the naysayers, the...
Just randos.
It will just be trolls.
Yeah.
I saw someone on Twitter over the past week who was sharing screen caps of their chat room during their front page promotion, and it was all of the worst things that you can imagine. And so it's a mixture of just like, you know, between like... We have a very great moderation team. There are a lot of cool features on Twitch that can stop a lot of that stuff from coming, whether it's like slow mode or followers mode or auto mod or whatever. But between like the coming chat awfulness, and it will be awful and it will happen, there's also... We want the shows just themselves to be good content, so we've actually lined up guests for the first time in a while. So next week we're going to have Mikey Newman of the newly rebranded Film Joy. Mm-hmm. And in 2 weeks we've got Sarah Lane scheduled, but there's a potential that she might get bumped, possibly for someone a very big name. And
Kevin Smith, finally.
Finally, Kevin Smith finally. Is on the NSFW show.
All right.
If he comes on, like, him coming on alone would be a big boost already. And so it will be very cool if that works out.
Barack Obama.
Right. Former President Barack Obama. And
we're not all shitty. Hashtag not all trolls. Lives matter.
And that's the thing, right? Is like, it changes the way that we have to approach stuff, right? So like, we've got problem solvers coming up with Sarah Lane, where we receive advice problems from people and we call them on Skype and we give them an answer. It's not like a conversation. We just shout an answer at them. That once you get Skype into stuff, it is precarious because who knows who could be submitting something, what number or username people could be giving out. And so, like, that is probably okay. I know we want to do Don't Get Brodied at some point, but Don't Get Brodied is especially precarious because that is us having an open Skype line and people calling in, us hoping people call in. And so that will be a thing where we probably will have to, where the invisible hand will have to shape that a little bit, just because it's going to be a lot of bad customers. And we had a conversation with one of our partners at Twitch that was like, yeah, hey, you know, try to be on good behavior, but you're still responsible for everything that you stream. And if something happens, that's on you, bro. And so we have to be super careful about it because, you know, it's just if we get suspended or something, that would be really shitty.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the middle of front page promo month corner.
Yeah, how did that happen, the whole front page thing?
So the Night Attack channel got partnered for Twitch about 6 months ago. And as a part of that, we get a contact at Twitch, like a partner-specific contact. Mm-hmm. And I think that they just regularly go and reach out to the accounts that they represent and just are like, hey, we've got a month coming up. What's a slot that we could put you in? To just put you on the front page, because there's always something on the front page, and there's not always esports going on.
Sure.
So they have to fill that with things like H3 or whatever is going on. And so with Night Attack being a specific time every week, that it's just going to be the Night Attack show, but on those Tuesday nights, we'll be there. And yeah, it was just our contact reaching out to us. So I get the sense that they probably do that regularly. In terms of just like filling out various time slots. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Because it could be a huge boon for the channel and the show. Or it could be a boondoggle. We've had
all kinds of boons.
All sorts of boons, yeah.
Boon goes the dynamite.
Yeah, it could be the boondocks and no one shows up. But part of me is excited for it. And the other part of me... I just want to get. It's like this game school shoot that we did. I want to get into it so I can feel good about being in it. You know.
Yeah.
It's just a pressure sort of thing. So, that's that. let's hop back to Modern Rogue. So there's a link here we've got in our show doc of the run times of Modern Rogue, and boy howdy,
there's a little bit of a trend.
There's a trend, and it's not down. Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're feeling with this?
Yeah, so it's something I pay attention to as it's changed over time, and you know, we've kind of always bounced up and down a bit. Sure. But certainly, you know, earlier episodes were like 8 minutes, 10 minutes long. This past week, we had a 48-minute long episode.
Boy, howdy.
Which kind of skews the results a little bit. But yeah, I feel like I've talked about this a little bit on my editing live streams, but I think a big kind of turning point for the series was the first spike, which was our wood carving with chainsaws episode. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of revealed to me, I think early on, Modern Rogue kind of had a lot of a scam school mentality, in that it was sort of like how-tos and stuff, but just for things that aren't magic. So it was not structurally exactly the same, but it kind of fulfilled the same purpose. And then it was once we got to that episode, we realized it's more about Brian and Jason discovering the process of a certain topic.
Yeah.
Because that episode was like, you know, it went into a lot of the minutia and nuance of things, and them both succeeding and failing. And so I think as time grew on, I sort of started to dial into the fact that it's about the journey more than the destination with Modern Rogue, which inherently inflated some of the times. But then also, you know, once time started to scale up a little bit and things started to get a little bit looser, I think they also changed the content of episodes as well. I think the information that's presented is a lot different than early episodes. And so I think that's also inflated things a little bit. I think personally, there's probably like a real sweet spot at 20 to 25 minutes, where it's long enough that, you know, they can really go over a lot of stuff, but it's not so long that it super drags on.
Yeah.
Of course, there are exceptions. Stuff like the HEMA episodes tend to take a long time because it's a lot of, you know, like
it's physical movement.
Yeah, and you can only learn so much of sword fighting or something, which is this thing that typically will take you weeks or months of practice and training to learn all of these techniques and stuff like that. And they're just going over it in an hour or something. Too, yeah. And, you know, obviously the ghost hunting thing was its own special. It was a different thing entirely.
That ghost hunting thing was like the first, you know, the actual like kayfabe bit was really cool and interesting, and was like 26 minutes. I was like, okay, cool, yeah, this, okay, hey, they get me, like that's really well paced. And then it was like, hey, there's another 20 minutes of them talking about it. I was like,
yeah.
I think that's more of a personal thing for me, because I don't know, I'm there for the Modern Rogue shoots, so it's like, well, I know what they have to say, I know what they're gonna say about X, Y, or Z, so probably good.
Yeah, I've got so many more thoughts on the ghost hunting thing, but I'll say that for another time.
Okay.
And also, I think there's an interesting thing with these episodes where it really does bounce up and down pretty regularly.
I'm looking like, especially lately, where it's just kind of got peaks and valleys.
Yeah, long episode, short episode, alternating for the most part. I think I kind of do that sort of intuitively, because after a long, exhaustive week of doing a long episode, I kind of want an episode that's a little bit shorter.
So this week's will be like 1 minute?
This week's episode is 12 or 13 minutes.
But there's like a second half to that whole episode that you have to cook up that is not video necessarily.
Sure, yeah. There's an element to that that's not... that still has to be done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of a weird peculiarity, and we can kind of roll that into the next topic, which is kind of how things get scheduled.
Yeah.
So the last time I did an editing live stream on Twitch.tv/Gadawag,
it you know, people ask how I schedule things, especially since just a couple of weeks ago we released the third Beerist episode that we had shot in July. And so that had been spaced way far out. Similar to, you know, any episode, we shoot them and then we space them out.
And we decide later where they go in the release order.
Yeah, so we can, like, right now we have 10 episodes shot approximately. We have 9 3/2 episodes shot. And so we bulk up and shoot a bunch of episodes if we can, and then we kind of schedule them. And the scheduling is really kind of a living, breathing organism of its own right. It kind of takes a life of its own, because on one hand, you know, like when we shoot with Trevor, we'll shoot 4 episodes,
and they're pretty fast,
or so.
Yeah,
And it's like we can't release them in the order that we shoot them. I'm not gonna have a full month of cocktail episodes.
Sure, for sure.
Like that would be insane.
Yeah.
Because you know we got a lot of people who are too young to drink, and we got a lot of people who just don't like the drink episodes. And so, you know, mix it up a little bit, give everybody something. If you don't like this week's episode, hopefully you'll like next week's better.
Right.
And also that allows me to do things where if I have a very long episode the next week, I can
space it out,
swap it up, and I could go, oh, well, maybe I should do a Krav Maga episode, because Krav Maga episodes are really fast.
Krav Maga.
So it's, there's a certain level of me saying, okay, well, our sweet spot for drink episodes is like 1 every 4 weeks or so. Originally, yeah, it was 1 every 3 weeks because I was under the mentality of, you know, we should do gentleman, warrior, scoundrel, gentleman, warrior, scoundrel. We should kind of do that kind of
and
thing.
And then we didn't really, the shooting didn't equalize that out really.
Yeah. So most things fall under scoundrel because scoundrel is kind of a catch-all for everything, yeah, right? Gentleman for us ends up being either food or alcohol. Mm-hmm. Warrior ends up being
fighting or weaponry,
improvised weapons for the most part, or self defense.
Yeah,
and then everything else is scoundrel.
They're good marketing words, but
they're kind of meaningless.
I think in practice they haven't been the best categorization tool for the series as a whole.
Yeah, I don't put much stock into it, honestly. But
I know when we were about the time when I joined on and we were first talking about Modern Rogue, we were like, we're going to have categories and it's going to be very clear. Like the title card will change for the category and we'll have all these different ideas. And
there's also going to be like a whole glyph system for every episode.
That's right. Oh, the glyph. Oh boy. That would have been on that one.
That would have been rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, originally it was going to be 1 every 3 weeks for drink stuff, but then, you know, the drink stuff was kind of underperforming and it kind of oversaturated the channel a little bit because, you know, at least with warrior stuff, you know, there are a couple different types of warrior episodes, and with scoundrel stuff, there are a bunch of different types of scoundrel episodes, but with gentlemen
drinks
stuff,
is always like,
it's almost always exclusively been drinks for us.
Yeah.
Right. We do have a steak episode coming up, but outside of that,
right,
and also theoretically, we're going to shoot a cigar episode at some point.
Yeah.
But outside of that, every gentleman episode has been drinks, pretty much.
Yeah. Or even the beer stuff, or whiskey, I guess. But it's all alcohol.
Those are all drinks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But sure. Yeah. Yeah. And so that got pushed to like 1 every 4, maybe 1 every 5, depending on how many we have in stock. But then, you know, everything else, I kind of split it up depending on, you know, who's in it. If it's a build episode, if it's not a build episode, if it's like a we're just going to sit down and talk episode, I try to space everything out as much as possible. I also space things out with like, you know, run time, but also like the shooting location and all these things kind of come into play. But then also, let's say there's this upcoming week is Steganography. That's going to be episode 90
originally it was going to be episode 77. Oh, wow. It was 13 episodes ago. But as I started that edit, I realized I didn't have the screen capture from the laptop they were using. So I had to push it back, and then it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back because other things took priority.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of thing where every time we shoot a batch of episodes, the release schedule changes because I go, oh, well, that's a more appropriate slot for it here. And then that pushes everything back a week, and then this goes here, and it just kind of always continues to shift. So there's no real one answer as to when things get released. It just kind of evolves over time, which is how we get episodes coming out 3 months after they were shot.
Yeah, and that's sort of how the phenomena that I think people have been commenting a lot on
with the beards,
the flexing length of the guys' beards.
Yeah,
Brian just finally shaved his beard last night. On Tuesday for Night Attack. Well, so he shaved half of it during Night Attack, and then he decided halfway through that he really liked having a two beard spikes coming out of his chin, and so he kept those, and then today, because we're going to be shooting stuff today and soon, that he cleaned it all up, but. You know, even Scam School stuff, just like the beard kind of comes and goes between even in episodes between when we shoot stand-ups and when the episodes have come out.
Right.
There's been a little bit of discrepancy there.
Yeah. But, and that's just always going to be an artifact of shooting in bulk and then releasing over time, which you really need to do. It's more and more important the more people you have involved on a product. So like Modern Rogue, typically it's four of us, right? Mm. Brian, Jason, you. Bryce, and myself. And you know, if
the best way to use everyone's time is to shoot a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we've all got edits, we've all got other things to do and take care of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we try to get the shooting time while we're all together, while we have all the stuff ready to go. And then we just space it out.
Cool. Well, that's a good insight. And a lot of that, in terms of like deciding shooting order, works with Scam School too, mm-hmm. right? When we add a new batch of episodes, it kind of shifts everything in our doc of just like, well, okay, so, and a lot, some of it is like location-based, some of it is like content-based, where it's like, you know, you want to not have too many puzzles next to each other and next to stunts or effects and card tricks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like wanting to have a good variety there, but also a variety of who's on the episode, people, where we're at, you know, that all that stuff goes into consideration. And it's not just on these two series either. Pretty much anything like this is probably, you'd probably see a similar thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Great. Let's talk about something that I think has kind of come apart or come in the past few months, certainly for me, of just like having Discord become a thing for not just the podcast community and the Diamond Club and Night Attack stuff, but also with the Modern Rogue Discord, and also finding other Discords that I enjoy recreationally. I know that you especially are in like the Modern Rogue Discord a lot, Brandt.
Yeah.
Because you'll talk about production stuff and just what else is going on. But I guess this is for David and Jeff a little bit. Like, do either of you even use Discord?
I'm still on AOL Instant Messenger.
I have bad news for you. You might want to log in.
I have no Discord experience. Mm-mm-mm. Yet.
I briefly set one up for Rage Select and sent it to like the top 20 patrons that I had, just as a test to see how it worked. And I quickly found that if I wasn't directly interacting with people hard, they wouldn't interact with each other, at least those 20 people. So it kind of just became a wasteland. And then I have a hard time with social media in general. Like, I don't post on Facebook. I don't post anything on Twitter. I'm not very social in that way. So having a tool like that was kind of wasted on me. I've thought about opening it up to like anybody giving more than $20 on my Patreon, which there's a fair chunk of people. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just my time. I don't put a lot of value in social media anymore.
Sure. Okay, yeah, yeah. And I think that's a similar thing that we've got with especially Brian, just who like already is like answering a million comments and answering a million tweets and stuff. And so he's trying to figure out the right balance between with also Discord.
Yeah.
But like between like Modern Rogue and Night Attack having really good like user bases on Discord, like they're generally they hum along, right? They're not crazy, you know, a flood of comments or messages at all times. But I think that they're pretty healthy little communities.
Yeah, Modern Rogue is a little bit on the quieter side, I feel. Yeah.
But Modern Rogue is also only patrons.
Sure.
Only available to patrons. So,
that's true.
That is a good part of it. But I think that those people are much more engaged with each other compared to if it was just an open server.
Sure.
You know? And I don't know. It's been nice on the Modern Rogue side to like see a bunch of new names and to see those people cross over to like the Night Attack Discord and then see them show up during the shows and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
That I think has been really nice because I always wish we had better cross-pollination between the YouTube shows that we do and the podcast communities because I think that it's not a lot of like direct connections between those two, but I think people who like Scam School or Modern Rogue probably watch Netflix and might be interested in Cord Killers or Weird Things or something. So it's just been kind of nice to have that as like a thing to go to just in downtime or to have a conversation with people.
I'm sorry, downtime? What's this?
Yeah, I think that's my problem too.
but I mean, like, you know, if I'm in the line at the grocery store, I can just like pop it open and see, oh, you know, hey, what's going on?
You don't have your groceries delivered to you?
not as often as I can afford. Yeah. I don't because I have my laundry. I have my laundry get picked up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, man, that's the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah.
Even if that's like so I have weird. A washer and dryer in my unit, but the process of folding and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
they'll
I
fold would it probably, too. Yeah, they'll bag yeah, exactly. it up. Exactly. They'll put stuff on hangers. They'll put everything on hangers.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What world do you guys live in?
I don't have a washer dryer at my place. Okay. I live on a top floor. I don't like hauling stuff over and then wasting 2.5-3 hours folding stuff in a public laundromat.
Well, I feel laundromats suck.
Yeah, and the place that I go to now, or the place that I use, is like pretty reasonably priced for what it is. The only thing is like it's kind of like a 24-hour thing, so you have to like okay, cool. So I won't have any of this stuff for 24 hours, including bed sheets. But that's me owning one chair. It's one pair of bed sheets. So
yeah,
when I moved out here, I was like, I need a washer and dryer. I need a place that can take one. And then I moved in, and my first week I was
when
like,
you bought a washer dryer.
I'm buying a washer and dryer.
Yeah.
Hey dudes, move this stuff into my apartment because I'm not leaving my apartment for clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying anybody to take my clothes.
Yeah. Well, in the place that I was at, the place I used to live at had a washer dryer included. Mm-hmm. And then the place I moved to only had hookups. And I can't really afford to buy or even like rent to own or whatever a new washer and dryer right now. So it's like I can just have a guy come and pick up a bag of clothes and that's fine.
I would give you shit about like spending your money on Switch, but Switch is great. So
the Switch is cool. The Switch is cool. Hey,
so yeah, you know, joke's on me.
Whatever. Hey, the joke will be on me tax season. So it's cool.
Fair.
So I don't know. That's been a nice thing. And between the forum that I used to go to all the time shutting down, like it's really nice to have a new place that I can just mindlessly go to.
Yeah, I like just keeping up with that. I like having a place where I can talk about like weird behind the scenes production stuff.
Yeah, but like really casually in the way that a tweet isn't.
Yeah, you know? like a tweet feels like a whole thing.
Yeah,
it's a whole.
No, but I mean that's the real thing. Brian and I were talking about that the other night when we were talking about Discord stuff. He was like, you know, I don't tweet as much because it is such an impactful thing when he tweets that if it's not substantial or something useful, then I don't know. It is a thing. It is.
Is that what Discord was designed to kind of do? Is wedge itself into like the?
It's like chat. It's like a chat room.
Discord is basically Slack, but like not business.
Yeah,
it's got like game integration and voice comms.
It's got voice and video now.
Yeah. Okay.
Video is recent, but
It like replaces chat rooms in a way that Twitter kind of is more like a Facebooky type thing.
Gotcha.
It's like IRC but better.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
What with the news groups?
Yeah. Okay. News groups.
Alt dot whatever. Yeah.
All right. Last couple of things. What's up with YouTube reviews, Brant?
Oh,
like comments?
What is up?
Every now and then I go, I'm like, oh, I'm interested in a product. Let me see what people have to say about this.
Yeah.
And you know, like gloves. I was thinking about getting some gloves.
Sure.
I haven't owned a pair of gloves in like 15 years or something.
And there's a compartment for them right in your car.
Yeah.
Right.
Completely empty.
Exactly.
What am I going to do? Not have gloves?
Right. It's books in there.
Yeah.
It's not a book compartment.
No, it's not.
Not anymore.
So you look for gloves.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, well, I should see some gloves. You know, how do you find gloves? Like,
you
what
go to
do
a store
you,
and try them on, probably.
What store sells gloves?
Gloves are us.
Little
everywhere.
Target, Walmart, JCPenney.
Oh, so I'm going to buy like some $10 gloves or something?
Yeah.
How much are you looking to spend on gloves?
I think you're going to lose them at the end of the winter.
I don't. Yeah, like, I need somebody to tell me how much money I need to spend on gloves.
$10. Yeah.
No. Somewhere between 10 and 40, I would say.
Yeah. But like.
Yeah, if you're getting like nice leather gloves or something, okay.
Or also like a coat. I really want
to get
coat.
Matching.
No, I have put an order in a coat,
okay,
but not gloves. I was just thinking about gloves, and so it's like, oh, well, what do I search the internet for best gloves? Yeah, that's gonna give me a good thing.
Yeah.
So
search the internet for best.
We're gonna
gloves.
Go to Google.com.
Yeah, do it. See what gloves. You find.
Okay, sure. I'm typing best gloves. Look here, North Face Power Stretch glove, $35.
$34.95. Yeah.
Yeah, earlier we talked about how garbage Amazon reviews are. Yeah, like I'm going to trust somebody telling me that these
Google shopping
25
oh,
gloves.
The best, here we go. Gloves of 2017. The best gloves of 2017. Yeah.
This is outside online.
Yeah.
These probably were no good in 2016, but they're good now.
$500 heated okay. gloves. Yeah. $500.
All right.
Okay.
$500. Okay, so I'm spending $500.
You're not spending. Don't do that. Never spend $500 on gloves.
Those are probably the best gloves.
Do you need those gloves?
No, but they're great. Yeah. It says best gloves right there. Anyway.
But the thing about gloves. Okay, yeah, hold on. We're talking about gloves for a second. They're a commodity. That's why you just go to Target and try them on.
Sure.
They don't shrink wrap them. Just try them on.
Sure. Well, whatever. Anyway. Okay. So you can learn a lot from a YouTube video, even if it's a really terrible video.
Yeah.
And so you can be like, oh, well, let me check out this glove guide.
Gloves. Yeah.
Let me see this dude talking about gloves who knows about gloves.
Knows gloves.
Yeah. He can be like, yo. I got the real lowdown on what you want out of a glove.
You want these gloves.
Although most of those videos when it comes to gloves are people who are like, yo, I bike a lot. Here are some biking gloves.
That's the thing. That's what those $500, those are like mountain climbing gloves.
There you go.
They climb the mountain for you.
Probably the best mountain climbing gloves.
They just pull you up.
But you get a video, and like if you just go to like a product page or something, they're like, okay, here are these three photos that are the most flattering angle and devoid of all context. You go to a video, and some dude like, hey, here's some gloves. Here's what they look like. Here's how they fit. Here's some cool things about these gloves.
I'd buy gloves from that guy, though.
I want to see that guy's reviews.
Right? And it's really fascinating because as somebody who does video production, so many of these reviews are people who just like don't understand video production in any way. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like I watched this review of this lady talking about a coat, and I was like, I'm looking at this coat. I want to know more about this coat. Mm-hmm. And it's this lady who just has like, it's just stream of consciousness. It's just the most bizarre thing. I watched a dude review this coat, and he had a whole segment of the video where he was like, this is a fit test. I'm going to put on this coat and like pose for the camera and like walk around in front of this camera. And it was the most bizarre. It was like the person's not even a human being, just some dude who showed up on this planet and was like, coats are fascinating because they fit me. And
But if you want, look, if you're trying to find out about a coat, you want to see it on a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, there are things that you can derive out of it. There are things that you can, like, you can piece together something out of it that you can't get out of just, like, a text review or something.
Sure.
But it's also a little bit hard to get through sometimes and just really interesting to watch. Like, I do a lot of corporate videos of, like, team building stuff with the Go game. And a lot of the people that they get to do it are like managers of you know
the team,
you know, X company. Yeah, I was gonna list off a bunch of companies, and I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't
probably do that one.
But it's just like it's a bunch of managers who've never done video stuff before, and they just don't understand video. And it's like, oh yeah, sure, give this dude a green hat when he's on a green screen, like. What are you doing? And then, oh yeah, let's do half of these videos in landscape mode and half of these videos in portrait mode. And also we're hand-holding all this green screen stuff, so it looks really bizarre that they're moving against this static background.
Yeah.
And it's just it's really interesting to see, you know, even though basically none of the people who do those kind of projects understand how video production works or what it is they're doing exactly, there's something that you can get out of it where you can say, oh, well, this person is like at least interested in the idea. There's a certain passion behind what they're doing, even though they're doing it poorly. And there's also like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he had an idea because he took a totally different approach to this video than everybody else. And I think video reviews on YouTube is like the wild, wild west of video production, where it's just anything goes and there are no rules. And it's just really weird.
Yeah. That's interesting, especially if it's something. See, like, I think for something like clothing, where it is a commodity, and, it, you know, I when I think of clothing, I don't expect it to be something that has a shelf life that would warrant making a video review, right? Like, let's say gloves, right? Like, I feel like glove designs would change or just whatever every so often enough that reviewing them would be pointless. Because every time I go to the store, gloves will just be different. I don't know.
Like six fingers this year.
No, but like design or texture, whatever, right? And so that makes it a space for people who are less interested in video production. Right. Because it is something that is like not hugely significant or like has a lot of big staying power. You know, is that crazy? Is that a crazy thought?
I kind of hear you. But also I think it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, a couple of years back I was looking into socks because like I hated wearing shoes. I wore flip flops for like 5 years straight without wearing shoes a single day. I hated them. And I realized that part of that was I hated my socks. Like I hate just the plain white stark socks. I just think they look really horrible and are barely functional. And I just did not like them. Yeah. So it's like at one point I was like, you know, I should look into some socks that I might like. Sorry, Jeff.
What if you just wore sandals or flip flops with gloves? You'd have a whole new look that would just be yours.
I had a while where I was like wearing a beanie and a jacket and everything. Flip flops.
Nice.
What about
definitely did that?
Gloves for feet.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Solve both problems at the same time.
Socks are so 2016.
But anyway,
this
like
year it's gloves for feet.
I found a company that makes socks that I really like, you know, like cool designs. I ordered a pair and they were like the best socks I had ever worn. They're like they're really good, you know, build quality, just like a lot of cushion.
Feels really good.
And that's right. It made me realize that, like, oh, there are people out there who like care about this thing, and it's not just, you know, we'll make it for 30 cents and sell it to you for $4. And I guess you have like socks that are sort of functional for the next
2 years or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, there are people who actually think about like the intricacies of this product that I never would have. Mm. And it's like, I want to find those people and those products because it's just a far greater experience. So it's like with gloves, yeah, I could get some like real rough and tumble gloves.
Sure.
You know, but if it's somebody who never thought about like the design process of a glove and what's important in a glove, mm-hmm. then it's like I'm getting an inherently inferior experience.
That's interesting. And I think that comes out of like wanting something that will last. Mm-hmm. And like just in the very specific example of gloves, every time I've ever had a pair of gloves, I've lost them. So mm-hmm. like spending a bunch of money on gloves is crazy to me because I'm just going to lose them. Mm. I would just rather buy $10 gloves once a year and then lose them because I'm going to lose them.
People say that all the time about like sunglasses and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never lost an article of clothing in my entire life. So
big man,
not even a sock in the dryer.
As far as I'm aware.
I own.
Then again, I've
never
had like
socks.
Three pairs of socks. So
yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's and. So Open Bayou asks, so why are you buying gloves when it's 82 and rarely falls under 29?
A fair point.
It's getting cold.
Sure. It's getting cold
here.
I keep going back to a couple of years ago. We had a Scam School shoot at Nutty Brown Cafe, and it was like below freezing, and there was a ton of wind. And I was out there, and I had like no winter clothes because it's Texas, right?
Yeah.
Got your flip-flops on?
I was going to say that's part of the flip-flop season.
Probably. And I just remember like – getting borderline frostbite because I'm sitting there trying to operate a camera with my hands. Couldn't feel my hands for like 2 hours after we got out of the cold. And I was just like, that's just a miserable experience. I don't want to ever experience that again.
Yeah.
And gloves are an easy way to subvert that.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, best of luck in the glove hunt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're running a little long. We've got some other stuff that we've got to do. So, maybe we'll just wrap it up here.
Cool.
And we'll see you guys in a month from now. Let's do some plugs. We're going to go in reverse chronological order. David, anything you want to tell people about?
These are real. There's no... It's every time.
Yeah, no, you've done good kayfabe with the wig.
Yeah.
I mean, your hair.
Minimum podcast, bit.ly/minimum... podcast or minimum hyphen podcast.
Minimum podcast, I
think
believe.
I think one goes to SoundCloud and the other one goes to iTunes. There you go.
Cool.
Look at that. It's been 6 weeks since I posted an episode.
Oh,
that
no.
will change in the next 2 to 3 days. So keep an eye out there. And yeah, at David Rowan on the Twitter, which I post a whopping 3 tweets a month. So you don't want to miss those.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think that's probably good. Yeah. Keep an eye out on scam stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
For the big release.
Scamstuff.com. Go get on the email list.
Yep.
Cool. Jeff, what's going on with you, buddy?
www.rageselect.com. We just got done doing our yearly Asylum thing where Jason Murphy and I played 5 different horror video games selected from throughout the ages.
Oh, cool.
Including the NES ROM hack of Sweet Home, which is for anybody who doesn't know, it's a movie tie-in game on the NES. From a 1989 Japanese horror movie that was directed by the guy who went on to produce Resident Evil and in a lot of ways is considered to be like one of the first survival horror games that was ever made.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we played a bunch of those stuff. And then last week, Brian and I played Mario and Wolfenstein. So you can go watch all those. Or youtube.com/RageSelect. I don't think anybody else is out there with those two words. So,
dude, very cool.
Yeah.
Brant, what's going on with you?
Twitter.com/GatoWag. You can find me talking about stuff there sometimes. Instagram.com/GatoWag, same spelling. Yeah. Instagram.com/ModernRogueShow.
That's right. We didn't even talk about that. Or did we talk about the last month? We got Modern Rogue Show.
I think we might have briefly touched on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, go there to see like stuff about the episode before the episode comes out. And sometimes I post like production photos and stuff like that. Hmm. You can find me on twitch.tv/GatoWag.
Yeah.
Where sometimes I stream stuff out.
Cool.
You can find me on the Discord.
Yeah.
Which you can join up by going to patreon.com/modernrogue.
That's right. And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Brycas, B-R-Y-C-A-S. I also stream on the Night Attack Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Night Attack. This show is called The Bizarre Briefing. We do it every month, the end of the month, to talk about the previous month. You can find us at bizarrebriefing.com. There you can get previous episodes, downloads, links, time codes and stuff. You can also find us on YouTube, youtube.com/scamstuff. That's where this gets posted also. And until next time, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, that's all the right. Best ending ever.
Bye.
Until next time, we'll see you next time. I like it. Are we required to wave? Is this in the contract?
You don't have to wave, but it's the thing that everybody
does. It's frowned upon to not wave.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.